We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Warriors Timberwolves tonight, 7 o'clock. 5:30, all your coverage starts with John Dickinson, Ryan Covey, and Jim Barnett. Warriors beat the T-Wolves, 130 to 108? Something like that. They hammered them. I mean, it got to 8, but I don't think the game was ever really really in doubt. We're talking a lot about James Wiseman being moved out of the starting lineup. I do want to get to some baseball at some point pretty quickly. So, Gu, I'll have you one more time tell me, have we made any inroads on you agreeing maybe with Steve Kerr that it's not a bad move, moving Wiseman to the bench?
No.
Have we made any inroads? None?
No. And I feel like I'm Daryl Kerr. I always put myself in the coach's shoes. And I just this comes with the territory. My prize rookie has not embarrassed himself. And I know there's going to be, trials and tribulations. But at the end of the day, I'm watching these games play out. He's not the reason we're losing games. And a guy averaging 28 points a game, what's that going to be, 35 if we get off to better starts? But I understand the chef is the chef. I like what I see from Wiseman. And to Rob from Sam Bruno's call, maybe if you did dumb the offense down for others, not just Wiseman, maybe they step their game up a tad bit and you get a better version of a starting five than what you got now, Dibs.
So you're going to change the whole offense so that your 19 and 10-month-old rookie, who's not going to play more than 25 minutes anyway, so that he can feel comfortable. So we're going to take away our best opportunity to score so that he feels comfortable. That is a ridiculous thing to think about in terms of all businesses, let alone an NBA team where you're trying to go out and win games.
Screw him.
Yeah. Let's wrap this up with Amit in San Jose. What's the finish up here? What's up, Amit? How you doing?
Hey, guys, what's going on? And Steiny, first of all, I'm talking to Trae Young yesterday, and he's upset with you that, Julius Randle, all of a sudden your new favorite player. What's up with that?
Julius Randle?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I got you.
But just on Wiseman getting benched, I was just thinking about something. Do you think Kerr puts any stock into Draymond Green? Like, does James Wiseman eventually, like as the season progresses, just get annoyed with Draymond constantly screaming at him, telling him what to do, where to be? And I know he said, like, oh, he's my big brother, but, like, at some point, wouldn't you get annoyed if he's just like, hey, do this, do that, you're not supposed to be here? And I think being in the second unit is actually good because he'll be going against bench players. He'll be with more mellow guys like Wiggins and Oubre, and he'll kind of just be able to learn on his own and not have too much pressure on him. So I think what Kerr's done and I think what the Warriors have done has been smart. And, that's my take on it. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Amit. I think that how do I want to put this? I think Wiseman going to the second unit can end up being a good thing. I don't think it's necessarily permanent, and I just think it's something that Steve Kerr felt like there had to be just some different way to approach the first quarter of a game, and maybe Wiseman was the most convenient. As for Wiseman and getting yelled at by Dre, I'm with Amit. you know, yeah, he may be saying and doing all the right things now and able to take it, but that doesn't mean it won't get old. And it that doesn't mean it maybe down the line won't have consequences, Goo.
S-O-F-T.
And I hate that I'm this guy, but at the end of the day, you know, we weren't sold because that doesn't even sound right, but a lot was made that Draymond took Wiseman under his wing. And to me, that comes with some benefits. The Draymond benefits to where even if they were thinking about sitting the rookie Steiny and Dibs, Draymond could go to Kerr like, I got this. It's not that bad for him to come off the bench. He's not the only one. And he could prevent this from happening this early on. That's all. Because at the end of the day, we didn't even get 20 games in, and we're already doing the Rubik's Cube when it comes to starting lineups.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to put it. But then again, it's one player. He made one little change.
You know, and it's one game. And Steve Kerr said, you know, he doesn't know how long this will happen or when it'll change back. To think that Wiseman's been demoted and that's it. He'll never start again. It's not the same as a starting pitcher where, you know, a guy goes out and he struggles and you gave him five or six starts as a rookie starter. And, you know, he didn't really pitch great. He didn't pitch so badly that you're going to send him down to Triple A, but you are going to have him work out of the bullpen for a while.
Yeah. Let's move on a little bit. I want to talk about the baseball, the Hall of Fame voting, Dibs, if you don't mind, for now. 401 voters, the Baseball Writers of America vote. You need 75% to get in. Nobody got 75%. Curt Schilling was the closest with 71%, but that was still 16 votes shy. Bonds, no. Clemens, no. Vizquel, no. Everybody, no. I just want to get your guys' opinions or impressions first, and then we can kind of get into it. Any big deal, Dibs, that nobody got in? It was the first time in 60 years, but it's happened.
Now, you say first time in 60 years. It happened in 2013 when nobody got voted in, and it happened in 1996 when nobody got voted in. I'm just curious as to the 60-year mark, what that's drawing upon.
Oh, I thought I read that somewhere. I must have been mistaken.
No, I saw it somewhere too. But and then if you go through year by year on just who the writers have voted in, 2020 it was Jeter and Larry Walker. And by the way, they're getting their own induction ceremony this year. Pandemic be damned, because they didn't get one last year. And there was, you know, 4-19, 4-18. Going back to 2013 was I thought the first time since then, but I don't think it's that surprising. It just is setting up an unbelievable collision course for next year where Bonds and Clemens and maybe Schilling, although he's trying to get himself off the ballot now, they all would be on the ballot with Big Poppy and also Alex Rodriguez in their first year of eligibility. A fascinating collision course ahead.
Yeah, and I'm done, Steiny and Dibs. I mean, I got to slow down here before I get upset. But the hypocrisy that Major League Baseball has created all throughout baseball, when we go back to the Negro Leagues and minorities not being able to play, you got known racists in the Hall of Fame, but yet you got a moral clause that's included. And like I told you guys earlier, I'm a father. I'm a citizen. I'm not perfect. But when I watch sports, I want somebody to be judged for what they do on the damn field. It shouldn't come down to what they do off the field, because at the end of the day, what are these voters and writers doing? Nobody's spying on them. And Dibs, it just hurt me that the baseball's been around forever. You should never throw yourself a party and nobody show up. And I believe it was Passan wrote an article last night or a tweet. I might have seen him on TV. Jeff Passan, he said, you know what? The Major League Baseball was trending last night. But this is not why you want to trend. And it bothers me that this thing is so broken and dysfunctional. And can I go real quick, steroid era? Bud Selig, the guy that oversaw everything, the cheating, whatever you want to put, whatever column you put it under, he got into your storied Hall of Fame, but yet the guys that used it can't get in. It is just such a crock of you-know-what. I can't believe they would do this to where nobody got in. To me, it's got to be the last straw. They need to redo everything. It's just a black. It's double black. Two black eyes.
Yeah, I don't know where I got the 60 years, because clearly that's not right. I just remember. Go ahead, Kyle.
I can offer some clarity on that. So because the Veterans Committee, because of the pandemic, is not getting together to select candidates this year. So for the first time since 1960, there won't be any members of a class. The ones in 2013 and 96, those were no current era.
Gotcha. Hey, Kyle, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Because I just figured it's one of those things that I'm thinking, did I see that or did I think I saw that? But yeah, nobody getting in this year. So who would you voted? But Guru, these writers, part of their instruction, part of the rules, is to take in character and integrity. That's part of the rule. That's part of their duty. And so, should Omar Vizquel be? Is Omar Vizquel a Hall of Famer?
Domestic abuse issues after his career?
I was just
going to ask you, and I got a mom and sister and a wife and daughter. Do we know what went down there? Was he getting extorted? Do we know if that was true? I mean, only God can judge. Tupac told us that. And to hell with these writers and these vendettas that they have. I know this. Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame. It's turned out to be a joke and grown-ass men acting like school kids holding grudges. This thing should be a museum of the totality of baseball and how you tell the story. And unfortunately, Dibley, it's not. And again, people could say, get off my high horse when I say you got known racists in there. You got Tony La Russa in there who oversaw dudes put needles in their ass, but he still got his day in the sun. It's just a whole – whatever, man. Just go on and be done with it. And if you think this is good PR by people talking about your sport, no class dibs, I just think that makes it worse.
Well, Barry Bonds is in the Hall of Fame. He has memorabilia in the Hall of Fame, bats and balls and batting gloves, and I'm sure one of his patented arm guards is in the Hall of Fame. Now, he does not have a bust. He is not enshrined in the Hall of Fame. And you know what? It's not your Hall of Fame. It's not mine. It's not Barry's. It's not Curt Schilling's. It's not Omar Vizquel's. Jeff Idelson is the president of Cooperstown and the Baseball Hall of Fame, and it's up to them to decide how they want to induct people and whom they want to induct. And you're going to see, I think, next year, one of two things is going to happen. Either the writing populace will cave to the point that all of these known and alleged juicers get in together, or there's such an outrage and such an outcry that they're going to change the way the vote is done and the writers will be removed from voting for these guys, because a lot of writers are already so frustrated and exasperated at the criticism that they face. And if you're a writer, what are you supposed to do? There is the character clause, the moral clause, and you can either weigh it or not weigh it, and each writer weighs it or doesn't weigh it in different ways.
Yeah. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station. This segment brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. I feel like right now, kind of with Dibs, it feels like 401 people voted or cast ballots for the Hall of Fame, and it feels like there were 401 different criteria that guys are using. I've heard Bonds was a hell of a player before allegedly taking steroids, and this guy had established himself. This guy hadn't established himself. This guy we think did it, but we can't prove it 100%. This guy admitted to it, so he's better than a guy who didn't admit it to it. I'm kind of with Guru in that I don't think it's something I'm going to get wound up about because they themselves can't figure it out, Goo.
Yeah, and I'll just leave it with this, guys. It's embarrassing. I think it's hurting the sport. I mean, this was supposed to be something so – you know, guys, you know, that can't sleep, that have dedicated their life to their sport and their craft to wake up and get that nod or call, and it's turned into this S show. So when I just look at baseball and what ails it and people not watching for whatever reasons we have, I continue to come back to the word, Dan Dibley, and you, I'm not saying you're telling me I'm wrong, but as a black man, and I think about the Negro Leagues and why the Negro Leagues existed and how minorities couldn't even play this game, it's so hard to look at where we are now and not go all the way back to the origin and history of the game I love. I've forgiven baseball, but the older I get, I just look at this and his judgment on the sport that, you know, a lot of these men have given their blood, sweat, and tears to, and just find it a joke that they can't get it fixed.
Dibs, I'm sorry. Did you – and I can't remember if you said this. So is there a maximum number of inductees each year, or it can be a number of players? More than
for
five,
baseball,
yeah.
Anybody who gets 75%, if you don't get 5%, you are taken off the ballot. You get 10 years
right
from the moment that you've been 5 years outside of baseball. So if you don't get 5%, you're off the ballot, and you're hoping just for the Veterans Committee.
So why is push coming to shove next year again, in your opinion?
Because you're going to have Alex Rodriguez, who... take aside the fact that he was a two-time juicer with his career, and now that he's a media darling and the better half or the lesser half of J-Lo, he would be a first-ballot guy almost guaranteed. Big Poppy, one of the most beloved sluggers of all time, but boy, did his career have a certain trajectory. So if you try to vote in Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz in their first year while denying Bonds and Clemens, put Schilling aside because he wants off the ballot. He wants the Veterans Committee to decide his fate because he doesn't think that the writers are very, quote, fair. So he wants out entirely. But to me, if you're going to vote Rodriguez and Ortiz, you got to vote Bonds and Clemens. And if you don't vote Bonds and Clemens and you don't vote Ortiz and Rodriguez, then that year goes by and Bonds and Clemens are no longer on. And then Alex Rodriguez gets in the next year. It's just going to be a complete outrage. And I think that the writers are already so close to saying we're fed up with it, and maybe the Hall of Fame itself will be done with this, what people see as a flawed process.
Can I ask you two a question? How does one get to be able to vote? I remember Susan Slusser, if I'm correct, she had one. Me and Pops were coming up I-5 yesterday listening to you guys. And Monty Poole, I love Monty. I never knew he had a vote for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Dibs, if you can explain, if you know, how does one get to that juncture to where, you know what, Dan Dibley, we're going to empower you with a vote for the Baseball Hall of Fame? How does a writer do that?
I believe it's 10 years, it might be 20 years, of covering Major League Baseball for one of the Major League Baseball teams. So, and you keep your vote as long as you stay active, at least in journalism, or until you give up your vote. And we've heard many people, Tim Kawakami famously has given up his vote now because he just doesn't want to do it anymore. But Monty Poole, having worked for the Oakland Tribune for, 20-something years, He as a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America, you get a ballot.
Yeah, Goo. It's people who've covered the league at one time or a baseball have covered baseball one time or
so
another.
So Ray Ratto, he has a vote? Because that's what I thought
he
about
does,
in the car. I should have,
he does.
Okay. Actually, yes, All he right. does have a vote. Right. And he didn't share it on the air yesterday, but.
Wow.
He's waiting until they all get unveiled, I believe. Like, I think today it's official now who he had and who he didn't have. So it's just that he didn't want to do it yesterday before the official thing came out, I guess. Where are you on Schilling? Because it seems to me Schilling's not obviously PEDs, but it's –
300 strikeouts, man.
It's tweeting that journalists should be killed. I mean, should a guy who does stuff like that, should that not matter? Should it matter? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I know that I'd be more, you know, just reading up on Omar Vizquel, for example, just kind of seeing these accusations and – And I get it. You're not guilty until proven guilty. But I got like Vizquel. Yeah, I might say no. No, I don't like that. I don't like that off the field stuff. And I'm gonna, in my own mind, invoke the character and integrity clause. Like that, I can see writers doing, Dibs.
And I don't like it.
It's a slippery slope because, you know, depending on what you know definitively is fact about what Omar Vizquel has done, you put that, you know, up against where do you feel about other points of morality, and how much does that weigh into the fact that he was a Hall of Fame baseball player? If he was, in your opinion, then do you weigh this quote-unquote character clause based on, I mean, what is known, what is factual, how much does that weigh into the player he was? So it becomes a difficult judgment for anybody, and I don't know if there's a better process out there, a better way to decide who's a Hall of Fame player or who isn't. But the one thing I know about baseball's Hall of Fame is it's the toughest one to get into of the big three.
And real quick, Dibs, do I sound like a dirtbag if the question Steiny just posed about Vizquel, like if I say, obviously that was the wrong thing to do, Steiny, but did he do it while he was playing? And does that still, if somebody goes to the morale clause, does that still kind of ignore the question? Because I'm looking at Curt Schilling, 3,000 strikeouts, 3,100 strikeouts, career record 216 and 146 in an era where there was no quote-unquote steroids. And me remembering him, what he did with Arizona and Randy Johnson in the clutch, the bloody sock. I guess what I'm saying is I don't want guys to be dirtbags, but I can't let that supersede what the question is and what were they on the diamond. Right? It shouldn't.
Well, they've got to change the rules, and they've got to change the criteria, because if they're talking about integrity and character being a part of this, then every writer's got an out for somebody who's not a saint. And like, people think Barry Bonds cheated. They think he cheated. So they're not going to vote him in because they say he's a cheater. And that trumps 700 and however many homers he hit. Is it right? I don't know. But I kind of with Dibley, they could probably – I don't know if they could fix it, Dibs, but they could address it by either the Hall of Fame rewriting, you know, what you consider, or the writers themselves start to use a different criteria. That might be the first step.
It's impossible, though, because the very idea of cheating, they cheated, steroid cheaters. Well, we don't know who in baseball really cheated, what the level of it was, who they went against. So there aren't enough facts, in my opinion, to really weigh that out. And then there's the hypocrisy of the presider of the era. Oh, there's nothing we can do. Bud Selig getting into the Hall of Fame. So the overlord of the era gets in, but we got to hold the players to a different standard. And I know he wasn't voted in by the writers, but that just speaks to the convoluted nature by which we decide who is Hall of Fame worthy and who isn't.
And this is the paragraph, Goo. This is what you're supposed to base your decision on: player's record, playing ability, integrity, sportsmanship, character, and contributions to the teams on which the player played. Why don't they just strike three words? If they strike three words there, maybe we don't have a problem.
Yeah,
but they're there, and so different people are going to take them different weights of seriousness, I think.
And I got to be careful here, Dibs, is Donnie, but I'm going to say it because we know what we went through as a country last year in regard to all the things, the disagreements, the racial stuff. And I'm not putting what's ailing baseball up there, but we saw statues come down. We saw organizations lick themselves in the mirror to say, you know what? Are we doing it right? And I guess where I'm going is I'm hoping Major League Baseball and Manfred, Dibs, and Steiny can look at this day, the conversations, and what I deem is making baseball look bad, and just revisit the whole thing to say we're making it too complicated. And at the end of the day, the sport as a whole is losing. Let's get this fixed. I mean, I think we're in an era now that – is that a dream? Is that too much to ask?
Maybe. I don't know. I wish I could answer that for you, Dibs and Goo. But we got to figure that out somehow. Otherwise, more and more people are going to tune out. Like, my feeling is I'm not sure I care enough about baseball to get mad or passionate about it. Hey, could you make the case that tonight's game against the T-Wolves is a must-win? I'm going to try to make
falling.
It. Actually, maybe I won't try to make it. We'll find out on the other side. 95-7 the game.
Now for the Exergen temperature check. The sky actually is falling. It's 54 degrees with showers in Oakland.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, we were just talking about the Hall of Fame vote yesterday. Nobody inducted into baseball's Hall of Fame. And a couple texts real quick to read. Based on your current statement, Steinmetz, half the people in the Hall of Fame should not be there. That's the whole point. The loose translation and interpretation is driving everyone crazy because there's no standard, but there's supposed to be one. I agree. I mean, it's kind of what I was getting at is everybody's interpreting the criteria differently, and people are taking integrity and character more importantly than other voters, Goo.
Yeah, and I spoke my piece. I hate that it's embarrassing the game. The game's got other issues that need to be rectified ASAP to grow its following. And now you're getting in your way with this, and this is what I call bad PR. There's nothing positive coming out of this, Dan Dibley. You throw yourself a party, and nobody showed up. If that ever happened to either one of you or somebody close to me, I'd say you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, Peter Brady famously had a birthday party in the Brady Bunch and no one showed up. That was one of the more heartbreaking episodes, quite frankly. And, Goo, there's the old saying, no PR is bad PR. And what was the last thing we talked about when we on the show talked about baseball, Steiny?
The criteria that everybody's using with the character clause?
I mean, prior to this conversation, when was the last time the words base and ball were even uttered?
Wow. You know what? Let me think. I mean, honestly, we talked a little bit about Joey Bart back in the day, but not at all.
Back in the day, exactly. Here we are. The hot stove should be simmering. The Trevor Bauer watch should be on. You should be Tommy LaStella-ing me into submission, man. Yet we're talking about the Hall of Fame. But at least, I mean, we're talking about baseball. Right, Steiny?
Well, we could talk about Marcus Semien going to Toronto, Goo.
Yeah, and get ready for the others to follow. Old Champy. I know
I don't
want to hear that.
Dude, yeah, color me stunned.
Yeah. This is a joke, what's going on over in Oakland. But that's for another day. But still, you know, I'm bothered. And Dibs, you're right. We should be getting excited and – again, no. The Little Richard, if I forgot what he said, but you know, it was similar to the bad PR is better than no PR. This is just it's embarrassing. I hate it for baseball.
Now I'm not familiar with that Little Richard one, Goo.
When they stop talking about you, that's when you get worried. Yeah, okay.
I got you.
As long as they're talking about you, Stoddy, that's half the battle.
I got you. All right, tonight at 7 o'clock, the Warriors take on the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Chase Center. They played them two nights ago and pretty much had their way with them. And, you know, I'm somebody who is somewhat literal, and I only think a must win is actually when you're facing elimination or anything like that. But this morning I was kind of having fun with Kyle in the pre-show meeting, and I was saying, you know, you could kind of make a case this is a must win for the Warriors. And obviously, you know, he rolled his eyes because the Timberwolves are the worst team in the West. But just follow me here, and I don't mean it in the literal sense of the word, but if the Golden State Warriors are to make the playoffs, they have to be excellent against the bottom feeders in the NBA. They have to be. And I'll make the case this year that they don't have a bad loss on their schedule. They've won every single game they've supposed to have won. They've won and lost some games that have been in the middle, and then they've lost games they should have lost, I think. So, Goo, when I'm looking at the Warriors, you know, you go out and get tonight, and then you're 5-0 versus Detroit, Chicago, Sacramento, and Minnesota twice. That's going to be half your wins, and you just don't want to stub your toes against these bad teams, Goo.
Yeah, you don't. I'll take this one, Goo, and mix it up a little bit here. And I think that part of that, though, is offset by, you know, the back-to-back nature when you play the same team twice in a row. Minnesota having been in town now for a small handful of days, and that game being closer than really the score otherwise indicated. If you play Minnesota, you're probably not going to win 10 out of 10 or 9 out of 10, but you would hope to win maybe 7 out of 10, and so you would want to win the first two out of two, these ones especially at home, knowing you do have tougher games ahead. But with still 75%+ of the season left to go, a stub toe here doesn't derail what you're hoping to do.
And you know what, Dibs? Well said. Stoney, I was shocked that came from you, because that the math is still going to be there regardless. But I look at what the Warriors are trying to do in this new year and this, you know, trying to form its new identity. I just look at it like, to hell with what you're doing against the bad teams. The sign of progress, and if you are a playoff team, is more like Saturday night's game. And again, I just can't shake that. But let's say they handle business tonight, Steiny. It's almost like my high school alma mater could take care of the T-Wolves. What do you really get out of tonight outside of a W in the grand scheme of things on
That's
if
it.
There's real progress? Because Saturday night was the progress game, and you got blew off the floor. It was 14-0. You know, I wish we could get fixated on that and do a thesis on that game as opposed to, you know, you show up tonight, you're winning tonight against Minnesota.
Well, that's my point. That's my point. If you lose this game, you're losing a game that 99% of the people think you're just going to walk out on the floor and win. And you can just never assume that in the NBA. After tonight, Goo, let me ask you a question. After tonight, the Warriors are 25% done with the season. All right? Let me ask you both this. They're 25% done with the season. If they're 9-9, what grade would you give them? And if you're 10-8, what grade would you give them? Because to me, they would be different grades.
Not dramatically, though. I mean, to me, it's a difference between a C-plus and a B-minus, or a C and a C-plus at the most. The difference between 10-8, okay. 10-8, it's great. 9-9, you're not totally disappointed. I think 9-9 is a C plus, 10-8 is a B minus.
You know what, Dibs? I like that. And I was going to go Steiny with the 10-9. And what Dibs just said, I'm going C plus to C. And it's my grade,
wow,
so I can do with it what I want. I think the fact that you couldn't get a quarter through the season and not make this move of somebody coming out the starting lineup, it ain't been all peaches and cream. And everybody can sell me on Wiseman's been great. We've seen flashes. But I'm using that as, you know what, I didn't want to have to deal with that this soon. And if everything you're telling me on why he shouldn't have started, just the masses out there, then you should have took that into account before letting them start. And now we're talking about trading Oubre. So I'm not going to go incomplete, but I'm going to go C+, because they have not lit the world on fire. Nobody's talking about, oh, the Golden State Warriors early on, when you could argue it's easier to shock the world early on. They didn't get that. So right now you're 500, or you could be 2 over. You got question marks, Steiny, and you may look totally different if a trade comes down here shortly. And I'm going to leave you with this, because I'm hanging on to what Rob said, because I felt it and I just didn't say it. Dan Dibley, I'm not saying dumb the offense down just for James Wiseman. We've heard Oubre doesn't know where to go. Sometimes Wiggins is confused. I think you could dumb it down and get the better ball plan from others, not just James Wiseman, and it may help you in the long run.
What's better, though, to smarten up the players who need help figuring it out or dumbing down the offense to suit those guys who aren't necessarily catching on? Which has the better effect in the short term and in the long term? What's better for your offense?
Thinking less, working smarter, not harder.
I like that. Steiny, where would you put the grades relative to 10-8 or 9-9?
I mean, if they're 10-8, that's a B. Maybe a B plus. This team was again, Vegas had them at 36.5. 10-8 gets you to 40-32. 40-32 is likely a top six. Then you avoid the play. Like, what more do you want? Do you really expect than 40-32? Damn.
Real quick, Steiny, that 10-8 bothers me because these two games with Minnesota, which I'm assuming to win tonight, and would you guys tell me I'm overreacting or being unfair with the loss to Utah? Because that loss to Utah wasn't just about the L. You look like a JV team, and there was no reason for you to look like a JV team. And we still, I've been gone, don't have answers to why on the Warriors' worst day you could look like that. So to me, that's the reality that I don't have answers for and why I'm not ready to say, Stein, even though it helps my 44-10-8, I want to know about why they look that bad against a good team as opposed to, you know, the 10-8 and can be the byproduct of playing Minnesota back-to-back.
You want me to take that, Dibs?
Yeah, well, I was just going to cite the schedule spot, Steiny. I don't know if you had more than just the schedule spot, because we talked about six games in 9 days and having to go from, I think that was a part of a stretch of, 3-5, and to have to go to Utah in that spot. And you're not going to beat Utah. If you play Utah 10 times, you might win two of them. They're just better than you.
Yeah, but show up. They ain't 14-0 better than you.
Goo.
It was
Goo.
What is
so hard to understand? Like, it's really not that hard to understand. They are not a top 5-6 team. They can't compete with those teams. Hence, they got blown out against the Nets. They got blown out against Milwaukee. They got blown out against Utah. And Denver handled them. All right, those are those are six of the top teams in the league. All right, now what we know about the Warriors is, well, they hammered Minnesota twice. They hammered the Bulls. They beat the Pistons. They handled Sacramento. Okay, then what about the middle teams? Well, it's a little of this and a little of that. That's who they are. Like, you really think they can compete with the top three or four teams in the league night in and night out?
Well, you know, that's a loaded question, Donnie, but I thought you should be prepared for that game Saturday, and I remember you saying this vividly. You said, you know what, it's going to be a SOB to win that game.
That's right.
But when you come back on the Lakers and you've shown you come back on the Clippers, Dibs, and here I go. I'm not placing blame, and you got number 30. Guess what? They got Donovan Mitchell. He ain't Steph Curry. You should never be down in a game like that. And hold on real quick. Let me add this. 2 weeks removed from a no-show in Denver, because we saw when you played the Nuggets, who ain't got their act together, it looked like guys were – that's scary to me. And those are the ones, the L's that I'm holding on to as opposed to throwing the parade against the teams that they're handling business again. I think the sign is more dangerous about the losses to the teams that – you know, the Denver and Utah losses, as opposed to, hey, they're taking care of business against the bottom feeder teams, per se.
Loss is a loss, though. And if you're down by 40 to Utah in the early third, it doesn't really matter if you lose by 4 or if you lose by 64. So you're down 40, and at that point, everybody in the building knows the flag is being waved. So Utah puts it into third gear. The Warriors turn to Nico Mannion and tell him to get his sweats off. And we'll see you next time. And it's the same thing with those opening two games. The Nets crushed you, and the Bucks humiliated you. Those only count for one. So you take them, you lick your wounds, and you move on. And by the way, they bounced back pretty well from that Utah debacle. by hammering the Timberwolves. And if they beat them again here, then we'll look at the Suns game. And, you know, Phoenix is a good team. If you go to Phoenix and you lose, it doesn't discount the wins over the Timberwolves. If you're a 500 team, and it's pretty much what this team looks like it's going to be right about that, there's going to be wins and losses mixed in.
And, Goo, it sounded like you were going to say, how could a team with Steph Curry be down 15 at the end of the first quarter?
I was going to have you that right. And I said,
you know why?
Steph.
How much? But this is the thing. How much of that is Steph's fault?
I'm not mad at that. Right. I'm not mad at that assessment at all. And I'm not saying he's beyond responsibility, but it's scary to me because when a guy, talking about myself, predicts 44 wins, I'm predicting you're going to go in some of these tough venues against a top-tier team like you did in L.A. You came back. We thought
you beat the Clippers and the Lakers this year already and Portland.
And to Dibs's point, the Brooklyn and Milwaukee, I throw that out because there was no Draymond. But Saturday night and the Denver loss, those concern me moving forward. And that ain't just James Wiseman. That's everybody collectively, you know?
You're not as good as Utah. Utah might come out of the West.
But were you surprised after the halftime, Steiny?
No, why should I be surprised?
It was over, TKO.
Didn't we see the Warriors do that to teams over the last 5 years?
No, I thought you were going to say this season. You're correct, and you understood that. One of the greatest teams to ever do it.
And Utah's one of the best teams in the league. Are the Warriors underachieving or overachieving, Goo? Because it feels like you think they're underachieving.
I think
overachieving, Stein. And I'd like to see, you know, a chance to, you know, change my grade. Because I think, Stein, your grade is a lot closer to what the streets would say as far as, you know, where their marks are, achievement over versus under. But, you know, if you look ahead at this Warriors schedule, what are they, 9-8, we say? If you look at the next 8 games, they're likely to go 4-4. And if you look at the next 10, they're likely to go 5-5. And by the way, if you look at the next 12, they're likely to go 6-6. And I won't poke through and play the schedule game with you, but you've got Phoenix, you've got Detroit, you've got 2 against the Spurs. Well, you've got 2 against the Mavericks. You've got the Celtics. And so there are teams and matchups where you're going to go in. The Nets, by the way, come to town. That's going to be a tough game. So if you look through the majority of the next 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, you could easily find them going 11-11 over the next 22. And, you know, they might go 6-16. They could go 16-6, but likely this team is going to be what they've been so far.
And you know what, Donnie, let me just get this in. And Dan, that's incredible. But it's also a huge disappointment if that ends up being what they go. And why how this show started is the reason I felt the way about Wiseman. I thought you are going to jumpstart, you know, the caddy, you're going to jumpstart the team. And
nice.
I'm rolling the dice hoping that you reach other levels. And I thought a move like inserting Looney into the lineup will get you there. But if you're telling me 5-5 in the next 10, Steiny, and 4-4 in the next 8, well, what the hell are we doing? You can do that, and you did it with Looney in his first, you know, before his first 20 games. What are you really gaining by benching the youngster? That's what I'm saying.
You're better in the first quarter of games. You're more competitive, and you'll give yourself a better chance to win over the course of a game. Guru, how long's Utah had their core? How long have they had Mitchell, Conley, Ingles, and Gobert?
They've been together.
Right.
2 years?
More than that now. Probably
Conley
three or
even?
Four.
They've had Conley that long. Wow.
Well, but,
had a
you know,
good
Mitchell,
run in the bubble.
Mitchell and Gobert and Ingles, I mean, they've been around. Yeah. They got Favors back. He was with them for a while.
That's right, Favors.
But the Warriors have 3 guys who've never played with each other before. At least they did against Utah. I just don't think you're going to win that game. It's almost like when a 500 team came in to play against the Warriors. How are they going to beat the Warriors in Oakland? It's going to be really hard, and at some point the Warriors are probably going to put you away. Sometimes they put you away early, sometimes they put you away a little later, but Utah's really good, and the Warriors aren't. And maybe that's what you need to wrap your head around.
And 39-2, the Warriors at home a couple of those seasons, Steiny. 39-2, and the 1 year, I think they were 38-0. They had a chance to run the table. Goo, Warriors, Minnesota tonight. We know 7 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. Tomorrow at the Warriors. Tomorrow at the Suns, Goo. Tomorrow at the Suns. Tough second half of back-to-back. But, hey, then Saturday, you host the Pistons. Well, Tuesday, Boston comes to town. Then you have two at Dallas and two at the Spurs. That's probably a four-game split. Then the Magic at home, the Nets at home. You getting what I'm putting down? I'm picking it up, and I'm putting it down. It's not to say they can't go on a run or fall into a deep, deep chasm, but the way things are laying out for this team, tonight isn't a must-win, but you could look back in 3 weeks. If you're below 500 and if you look at this game as a loss and say, man, that's really where things went south. Or if you look back in a month and you're above 500 and you look at this back-to-back with victories and you say, yeah, we should have beaten Minnesota. And we did. We checked those boxes.
And that, I look. Go ahead, Stein.
I mean, I just look at it like, okay, you lost. When they lost to the Knicks, you were, okay, oh, shoot. First of all,
shocked.
You know,
yeah.
Okay, I know you were. And that got, and so the Warriors, okay. Now, I wouldn't consider the Knicks a bad loss, but, oh, God, you wanted that one. That would have been one you should have gotten. Okay, so you didn't get it. All right, who's coming up next? Well, we got Minnesota back-to-back, and we got the Suns in Detroit. Well, you know what? You got to get a couple games over 500 because you're not the kind of team that can win five in a row against, you know, Dallas, Phoenix, the Nets, Miami, and Portland. Like, you're not going to win five against really good teams. So I just think that, you know, these are the games you got to take care of. You get to 11-9, and now you're thinking, I don't know who's right after 11-9, but that's when you're thinking, oh, man, can we go in there and get one to stay above, you know, and you try to stay two games above 500, maybe get to three. But it's, if you look at the schedule, this isn't the old Warriors where it was a W every single game. Oh, play the Lakers, win. Well, we play the best team in the East. Win. It's like, no. You're going to have trouble in those games.
And you know what? Both of you guys make great points, and it adds to the excitement of the newness and how different this season is. But I don't know if the truck is in the shop because we hadn't used it in a while, so I don't want to sound like I'm backing anything up, fellas. But, Steiny, I kind of ignored this, and I'm going to put it out there because I've been scoffing at the notion that, you know, Steph can't do it by himself. And as much as I love Steph, you're right. That Utah game, that's as much on him as anybody else. But at the end of the day, looking this morning, PER, Steph was nowhere on there. You talked about the MVP candidates. Steph was nowhere close to that. And I'm in denial, like, if he gets close to 30 and miraculously dibs, they get the fourth or fifth seed. You know, if they were to do that, that would change a lot of the narrative. Where I'm going and my point being is I may need to step back and stop thinking Steph can do it basically all by himself.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah,
I'm not backing up, but it's
no,
starting
you should.
To scare
and
me.
If we have the truck, Kyle, go ahead and play the truck because you are backing up. And I'm going to go ahead and put one in the time capsule while we're here and just say Steph Curry will never.
Oh,
yeah, there's
bad.
The truck. I mean, go ahead and get ready for the lock sound as we vault this in the time capsule. Steph Curry will never finish in the top three in MVP voting again in his career.
Wow.
Ooh, that is,
now,
this
that's is like that's strong.
This is
man.
No blend.
No, I ain't on that. Yeah.
If you think I'm on it, and it's not to disparage Steph, but it's to say that next year when Clay is here, assuming you still have Wiggins and Wiseman is as good as you say he's going to be, Steph's not going to need to go out and put up MVP like numbers. And by the way, there are so many young superstars scattered throughout our league that it's going to be tough for him, no matter how well he plays. At his advanced age, one thing that we all need to keep in mind as we gear up for this Minnesota game tonight, what do you think the Warriors' longest winning streak is this year, guys? Do you know?
Oh, I know it. Derek Jeter, too.
And do you know what their longest losing streak is?
I don't know that.
Stay hot, Goo. Derek Jeter, too. That is to say, that this team, it's going to be up and down and up and down. It's going to be more of a pogo stick season than it will be a team that, damn, they won six in a row. Ooh,
that's
got to
change,
straight.
Though, Dibs. That's got to change. Whose responsibility is it? And Steiny, as I'm looking at you, both of you, and Kyle, I ask you this. So when Steph has a good game, I'm asking because I need to process this. When Steph has a good game, it's all Steph. And if Steph doesn't have a good game numbers-wise, oh, it was everybody else around him that didn't do their job. I need to know this moving forward.
Oh, boy. All I know, Goo.
Hello.
All I know, Goo, and Dibs, and I, Dibs and I differ a little bit on theoretically how many the Warriors would have to win for Curry to be an MVP candidate. Forget that for a minute.
Okay.
You said, well, if Curry, if they could somehow finish, okay, let's just use fourth.
Oof.
Okay?
Yeah.
Well, what's their record have to be to get to four?
I would
probably
say
41, let's say 42 and 30.
Okay, I like
43 and 29. All right? Well, they're 9-8. They're not on that pace. Hence, he's not an MVP candidate. If Steph Curry were having an MVP type of year, you know what? I know it's only one game or two now, but they'd be 12-7. They'd have two more wins somehow.
Man.
They'd have to.
So
all
he would
doing
be responsible for making Oubre make shots?
Goo, has he done one thing this year where you've been like, wow, this is a Curry? He's done everything you thought he was going to do. No better, no worse. And it's not good enough to get the Warriors to 44 wins.
I'm going to go ping pong real quick and hit the ball back and say him going to the basket, I mean this, Steiny and Dibs,
okay,
and finishing the way he's doing. I know a bucket's only 2 points. That ain't aging. That ain't getting old. That he's exuberant. He's using more to get those buckets. So I push back on. It ain't age, Dibs. It ain't the fall off. I just need to know if you tell me it's all about Steph and the game being easier for him. But if that's to the detriment of the other four players, what are we really doing? And that's why Rob from San Bruno may be onto something. When you dumb down the offense, it's for the greater good of the team, not just Steph-centric.
Tell me what that looks like, Guru. What does dumbing down the offense look like? Because it sounds real good. And you know what it sounds like? It sounds like Kelly Oubre Jr. is not smart enough to understand what the Warriors are doing, and that James Wiseman is not smart enough, and Andrew Wiggins isn't smart enough. So I need you to tell me specifically what this looks like and how this makes the offense better. Because you and Rob from San Bruno have this great idea about dumbing it down. I don't know what that means.
Everybody doesn't have to be a Steph magnet. Go out there, and if you can create the best shot, you go ahead and shoot the shot. I'm starting to think everybody's going out there like robots. I got to set a screen for Steph. I got to do this or that for Steph. I got to do – no. And it's obvious to Oubre's point, Steiny, he ain't doing much of that because he's letting them fly at every turn. So it ain't like Draymond is the Steph magnet. Looney's the Steph magnet. But like, throw it to the big fella at the top of the key and let him do something. And we have seen, flashes of that to where we're like, oh, we got something. But most of the time what I'm hearing from you two and everybody else is, oh, they're in Steph's way. They're doing this or that. Steph is the one thing we know is going to get off on a nightly basis, whether they're in his way or not.
But how is the question, and how does he get off, quote unquote? He does it in a number of ways. And that, I think we all would agree that the best shot you can have in the half court is a Steph Curry open three-pointer. That might be the best shot in all of basketball. So if that's our starting point, if that's the pinnacle of our pyramid, our vanguard, then we use that and we build off of that, which means screen roll, Steph open from three. Run him off the ball, Steph open from three. The second best option, I don't believe, is give it to the big fella at the top of the circle and let him eat. That's closer to the bottom of the pyramid for me. So as far as, quote, dumbing it down, I'm sorry, Steiny. As far as dumbing it down goes, the most important thing is getting Steph Curry open shots. And if dumbing it down means screen roll, he's going to have an open three, then they would do that. But that's not the way he gets open threes.
Guru, if if you got to get Steph an open three, what would you do? Like, what, like how would you? How, what's the best way to do it?
He's, you know what? He's so good, Steiny, that he can do it himself.
You're crazy. That, you're see, completely and utterly wrong.
Have we not? Go ahead.
If you want to get Steph Curry a good three-point shot, the best way to do it with this team is have him off the ball to start. Because if you run a high pick and roll with him, that gives the defense one option that they can do anytime they want, get the ball out of his hands. Get the ball out of his hands. You want to run the high pick and roll? That means the defense, if they want to, can get the ball out of his hands. Okay? The only problem is now you got the ball out of Steph's hands with the shot clock down to 8 or 10. So now he's got to find a way to get the ball back in a shorter period of time than had you had him off the ball in the first place. It's not that he can't come off a high screen and roll and make some threes once in a while. He's not going to make as many. I bet you his percentage is much higher when he gets a screen down and comes off a pick on the wing.
I don't disagree with that, and I bet the numbers would show that.
But as opposed to coming off a pick and roll.
Let me just say this. For Wiseman's case, and I'll rest it, did we get drunk on the Wiseman-Curry pick and roll? We didn't get that. And it was like Durant
when he was here.
We didn't get the Durant-Curry pick and roll.
Have you taken it to its conclusion? Okay? Wiseman sets a pick for Steph Curry. They will blitz Steph Curry. He will have to get rid of the ball. Then he will throw it to Wiseman. He'll throw it to Wiseman where Draymond Green usually gets the ball. Now, you're putting Wiseman in a terrible spot. You're putting him in a spot to be a decision maker. You're putting Wiseman in a spot. Do I step out for a three? Do I try to make a pass? Do I go to the basket? He's not ready for that yet. Hell, that took Draymond a while.
I mean, you know, at some point you're going to have to make those decisions. I hear you.
By the way, I do want to, before we finish up the show, I do want to mention Sekou Smith, who passed away yesterday. He was working for TNT, worked for a while at the Atlantic Journal-Constitution, died of COVID complications, 48 years old. And, you know, I came across Sekou a fair amount when I was covering the team, covering the Warriors. I can't stress to you guys enough how just great a guy he was. He was also one of the guys that anytime a producer would say, "Hey, we can get Sekou Smith, get him, get him." He was just one of the best guys around. You know, I remember going to Atlanta, covering my first game in Atlanta. way back in the day and not really knowing my way around. He's the kind of guy who came up, introduced himself, you know, anything I can get you. He's not PR. He's working for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Yeah. You know, he's got a wife and three kids, 48 years old, and just wanted to – we've had him on this show before, had him on the station a fair amount. Just wanted to say just feeling awful about Sekou Smith passing yesterday.
Well said, Stoney. Yeah, and real quick here, Dibs, I saw his last show on NBA TV. Then I saw on Twitter that he was dealing with COVID. Just assumed he would beat it and everything will be okay. And you're telling me a week later, I mean days later, he's no longer with us. And I don't need to, you know, hammer home just how serious what you know COVID is, but – it's definitely a tough loss, and Mark Spears put up, you know, I guess they were good friends, a heartfelt message. But, Steiny, it doesn't sound like you're just the only one that had good things to say about him. Everybody that he came in contact with, you know, he was a good, real dude, and that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, we had him on the show going back, man, more than 10 years on a variety of different shows, and always just so generous with his time, you know. And Steiny's right about anytime he, hey, we should get so-and-so, it's like he would be a yes, and if he couldn't do it that day, he would make sure he got on to drop some knowledge and share some insights. And it just reminds you that even though we're all fatigued with this pandemic, we got COVID fatigue and, you know, getting the stay-at-home order ending and people are going to start to go out outside dining and whatnot, keep your masks on if you have an opportunity to get the vaccine, get the vaccine. There's a way we can all work together and get through this. But this just another stark reminder, Steiny, 48 exactly. years old. That's 48. It just, you know, it can, the COVID-19 affects everybody differently, and it can affect everyone dramatically and fatally. So wear your mask and just keep trying to do what you're supposed to do, and hopefully we can get through this.
Let's leave it there. Rest in peace, Sekou Smith. Right, coming up next, DRK, Dave Benz at 3. He's the play-by-play man for the Minnesota Timberwolves, Steve Ashburner, NBA.com, and then Susan Slusser to talk about the Hall of Fame voting also. She's coming up at 3:30. Thanks for listening, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.